Hello, everybody, and welcome to a new episode of the Leaders in Value Chain podcast. I am your host, Radu Palamariu, and it is my pleasure, my delight, my honor to have with us today Javier Francisco Martinez Moreno. Javier is the Chief Supply Chain Officer of Costa Coffee. He's had a long career in supply chain, also quite interesting. Yeah, so he started in consulting, actually. He worked for a few years, then he moved to production side. He spent 15 years across many different roles in Danone, and the last close to 3 years, he's been the Chief Supply Chain Officer of Costa Coffee. Now, a few words about Costa Coffee. Many of us have savored their drinks, of course. It's a UK-based, but globally present. Now they have about 4,000 outlets across 50 markets globally, about 2 billion in revenue, and certainly a brand that many of us, most of us, would know. So Javier, thanks for joining us and welcome.
Hi, Radu. Thanks for inviting me. It's really a pleasure to spend time with you and your podcast audience. And I'm really glad as well that we finally managed to spend a bit of time together to talk about supply chain.
Yes, my pleasure. And maybe let's start first and foremost about yourself, and specifically, you've done so many things, but usually when you look back, there's always, you know, one, two, three moments where you look back and say, okay, this was really inflection points in my career. This made a lot of difference for me. You know, you've been 20, 30 years in supply chain. What would be some of those moments for you, Javier?
So look, probably a couple of them, and I'll share a personal one and a professional one. It's always good to have a combination of both. And I'll start with the personal one. I think I would say that was my first international exposure. I'm Spanish, as you know, and I'm very proud of coming from an excellent country. I'm not sure when I was a kid I would ever imagine to work or live outside of Spain. Definitely traveling is something that was in my mind, but not probably leaving the country. And I got that great opportunity to finalize my studies in Scotland. I'm coming from a very humble family, so I needed to find a sponsor that could help me to finance the adventure. Got my uncle eventually and packed my stuff to take a flight to Aberdeen. And I believe that the impact of that adventure changed totally my life, the way I think, the way I approach challenges, the way I look for solutions, the way I look as well into relationships, and definitely the way I seek for opportunities. So that was really a blow-minding experience and shaped my professional and my personal life moving forward. So that's for me a very important inflection point personally. And then a professional one, I believe that was the first time I managed an end-to-end supply chain role back in 2018 when I joined the medical nutrition business unit of Danone in UK and Ireland. I joined the executive team with scope from source to deliver. So that was what I would call the ultimate challenge. I changed country. I moved from the Netherlands when I was leaving to the UK. I had previously experience in procurement, supply chain, manufacturing, quality and food safety, but never before holding all the functions at the same time. The business was also new to me, and medical nutrition is a very regulated category and industry. So it was a lot of learning. And on top, I moved to the UK with family with a newborn baby of 6 weeks. So it was, I would call that was the full package at once. And why I would consider that as an inflection point, it's really because it's there where I saw the power of managing an end-to-end supply chain, the benefit of keeping a positive tension, I would say, amongst the different elements of the chain, while seeking for efficiency of the total value chain, right? I think that once that you experience the benefits of it, it's really difficult to go back to a segmented value chain. And that's something that I always keep in mind when joining a new role or a new company. I would say those are the inflection points that I would highlight, yes.
And to build on your last example, there is a saying that typically change jobs is okay. Change jobs and geographies is already quite a stretch. And if you have changed jobs, changed geographies, and an addition to the family, then I don't know how you pulled it off. But I'm sure your wife was, was a big, big help in all of that as well. But that's quite fabulous.
Look, we have always, as a family, by the way, I didn't mention, but my wife is also in the executive committee of UK and Isle of a multinational company, and we always try to manage that that, you know, career progress, I think that's part of the success that we have as a family, is how to manage that those trade-offs that we need to do, both of us, to continue our career. But definitely, I would say those are the typical changes you do once or twice in your lifetime. I wouldn't recommend to anybody to go through the three changes, as you mentioned, at once in a move, because it's really tough.
Yeah, to say the least.
Now about Costa, I know that you've specifically been through a lot. I think you've grown a lot. You've expanded to many markets in the last close to 3 years that you've been around. Also, you know, maybe to give context, of course, you came into the company at COVID time, and you managed to do this transformation in supply chain. So maybe let's talk a little bit about that. You also shared it as part of our Leaders in Supply Chain Awards last year. I'd love to go a little bit more in details, because I think there's a lot of lessons for our audience from it.
Yeah, look, at the end, as I always say, the success of a transformation, of a change, it's because of a team. So this is not about myself, but about having a great team that that helps to evolve and transform supply chain teams. As you mentioned, I arrived at the end of, I would say middle of the end of COVID, while the business was trying to expand internationally, while coming from a, I would say, tough period of time for the company, as you all can imagine, especially when you are facing to consumers every day and you need to, I would say, close stores. The company, I would say, has a strong heritage from the UK. It was set up to serve the UK and other international markets, but was really strongly focused on the UK. Capabilities were based in UK. Biggest part of the employees were from UK. So it was all about trying to create a supply chain that would enhance the growth of the company, while at the same time transforming our operating model to serve that expansion. I would say there are two or three key enablers that we went through it. The first one is about organization. And I always say the same with the PPT methodology, people, process and technologies. People is the most important part of it. That's always what I do when I join a new company or role. And the main challenge was to really developing an international business with the supply chain resources that were, in a way, very UK focused. And there was not an end-to-end approach, right? It was a very siloed supply chain and with a low relevance, I would say, exposure at leadership team. So when I landed in 2021, it was very clear that we need to have that that change. I would say an important element was very much about how we create that diversity, how we could create a team which would help us to enable that growth. And the idea was to bring people with diverse background, coming from different industries, different nationalities, different cultural background, and so on. So I think that was an important achievement for us. And after building a leadership team that would fit those characteristics, the rest, I would say, was it wasn't easy, but it wasn't very very difficult, because it became very natural, right? So now we recruit always with that mindset, and we achieve not only gender balance within the leadership team, but as well within the rest of the team, and we've got more than 25 nationalities on the team. I think the second element which probably helped to enhance that transformation is being able to demonstrate the value to the board. At that moment of time, when I joined the company, the supply chain function was not at the board, and it was very much about demonstrating the support that the function could bring to the company, and how moving from a siloed approach to a combined approach would help to deliver both a more efficient outcome, as well as starting to speak business language rather than the technical language that we used to use in supply chain, right? And trying to help both the top line and the bottom line. So I think those two elements were fundamental on that transformation. And as I mentioned at the beginning as well, having a great team that helped us to move forward with our ambition.
And maybe let me go a little bit deeper into that part with convincing the board of the value of supply chain. And that, I think, also is quite remarkable achievement. Yeah, to you're now at the board level. Yeah, you weren't. Tell us more about going, you know, to maybe some tips and tricks to all the supply chain professionals listening to this who perhaps are not yet at the board level.
What is key, further than demonstrating the value? Absolutely. Is there any other tips and tricks that you can share on how you showed that within Costa Coffee?
Well, I would say is first, it's very much to move from theory to results, right? So that's one of the elements that keeps always very consistent within the work that my teams and I have demonstrated during the last year is demonstrated the value that we can bring. Is speaking the business language. It's delivering and focusing not just on what traditionally supply chain used to be, which is very much bottom line efficiency. But I think the fact of building into how to support as well top line, how to potentiate growth, how to enable innovation is one of the big elements that the supply chains of today moving into. That balance between bottom line and top line is key. I think a second element which is also very important is especially to convince on the board on the criticality of having supply chain as part of that table is to demonstrate that even if we are categorized as supply chain leaders, we have the ability to deliver other things, right? So I started to manage the efficiency program for the company. I now recently took over sustainability as well. So I think that as a supply chain professionals, we have capabilities that we can explode farther than just our supply chain scope. And that brings not only credibility, but results as well. And it's very much building on those elements. Those are, in many cases, not quick moves, I would say, from not being to the board to be in the board. But I think that there is an accelerated, I would say, trend as we speak. After all the events that we have gone through, a pandemic, geopolitical tensions, I think CEOs and boards of company are realizing the value that the supply chain team can bring into it. And bringing that rationale, but also delivering the results helps a lot to convince on those, I would say, on this goal, yeah.
I know that Costa Coffee is actually the only coffee chain that manages fully your omni-channel operations, right? From internally, you deal with your stores, you deal with the different supermarkets, retail. I think I come from Romania. I know that in Romania you even have coffee machines, if I'm not wrong. There's a few other countries that you have that presence. Tell us a little bit about how you were able to be the only ones, and how did you have to structure the team and the talent to be able to manage all that complexities of channels all in-house?
Yeah, thank you, Radu. Well, I would say, first of all, we need to recognize that we are embarked in a journey, right? So I wouldn't say that the capabilities when it comes to supply chain are today 100% tick. It's all work in progress. It's part, by the way, of that transformation that we started 18 months ago. So I think that's an important element to recognize because that omni-channel management, I would say almost always work in progress. There are new technology that help us to enhance the results. There are processes that we need to revamp. The company, by the way, came from a period of time where that omni-channel was segmented. So there was parts of the organization that was taking care of each one of the parts of the omni-channel. And during the last 12, 18 months, what we are trying to do is really try to synergize as much as we can, specifically when it comes to the upstream, right? At the end of the day, upstream is the same whether you sell coffee or other products to different channels. So I think that the first important element is to recognize those synergies upstream wise, and then the differentiation mainly come in the downstream, right? Route to markets and so on. I think in terms of enhancing that to happen, coming back to the same point I made before, which is people, it's important to have I would say teams that have gone through those elements of omni-channel or different experience within the four main platforms that we have today. So that was an important element for us. We had, I would say, a team that had great capabilities on retail, probably a bit less capabilities on FMCG B2B. So it was very much within the last 12, 18 months to recruit people that would help us to complement the whole experience when it comes to portfolio. Second is also to recognize, and I think that took us a bit of time, but it's taking as well a lot of time. If I see how the world is evolving in other companies, the recognition of different cycles, right? We would I've listened to some of your podcasts when talking about S&OP and so on. We need to recognize that each one of those platforms or the channels are having different cycles when it comes to S&OP. And that's super important. We cannot have the same cycle in FMCG that in retail, as lifetime of products, for example, are totally different. So how to adapt your S&OP to each one of the channels is an important element. And how, coming back to the downstream, how to adapt your road to market is also very important. Comes as well to customers, right? Or partners that you are working with, right? So how to segment your processes and technology is essential to deliver really a fragmented supply chain within the omnichannel. Yeah.
And if you were to, you know, the Pareto principle, we all know it, theory is one thing, practice is another thing. And actually, I posted that recently on LinkedIn, and then one friend of mine said, actually, even within Pareto, it's the 4% is the thing that is the most important. So let it's a challenge for you, Habib. So if you think of supply chain, and it's not going to be an easy question, and I don't typically ask easy questions. And if you were to think of all the different things that you have achieved in the last 3 years, but what's that 4%? What is that one action or process or technology or person you can't say, because you can't play favorites in your team, right? You can't say.
Yeah.
That. But what would be the most impactful, right? What's that 4% that made the most difference?
I would say it's overall the whole scope, I would say, is strengthen the S&OP process. And I believe that's becoming more and more relevant. I think that the maturity of S&OPs in different companies, even now IVP, I think there are companies that are already demonstrated great value and outcomes because of the IVP process, is at the end of the day something that in many companies supply chain leads, and it's not a supply chain topic per se, right? We know S&OP at the end is the backbone process of any given company. Strengthen the S&OP when it comes to the understanding of the constraints, and unfortunately we have more and more constraints when it comes to both demand and supply, is key for success, right? It's easy to align in about a target for the year. How difficult is to achieve a target, and not because you may not succeed on the expectation of sales, but how to make things happen, right? So how to strengthen that backbone for me is what has made the difference in 2023 for us. And I believe also is what is going to make the difference in 2024, as we are, as part of our transformation, this S&OP is having a very, very important focus as well in this area.
And if you look in the last years, also I like to talk about challenges, about mistakes made. There's a lot of lessons there. What were perhaps some of the mishaps or mistakes that you made, or challenges that you encountered, things that perhaps weren't necessarily that you expected? And how did you fix it? How did you resolve it? What were the lessons learned out of it?
Look, I'll go a bit, not probably in the last years, but a bit earlier, because I think it's an element that is important, especially when you have an international career. I moved in 2013 as a procurement director of Aqua in Indonesia, which is still, I believe, the biggest brand of mineral bottled water in the world, and I believe still today has a great growth potential, right? For me, the element is when you land in a new country, right? How you quickly adapt to the reality of that country. There are cultures that are more similar than others, right? I would say it's the period of time where you need to understand the reality to then act. And in we, as a professionals, try always to apply as soon as possible some methods to deliver results. And I would say cultural change is an important element that we cannot underestimate. I would say in my case, Indonesia is from the, I would say, supply chain standpoint, as you can imagine, there are plenty of islands. So you start already with a challenge versus what you would probably know in Europe. It has lots of, unfortunately, natural disasters. Floods are a very important characteristic of that part of the world. There is, water access constraints and so forth and so forth. So that's for me one of the elements that I probably underestimated when I landed. It was very much about, we've got some challenges. Let's put in motion some plans. Some of those plans would had been potentially more successful if I would have spent a bit more time trying to understand the first, the country itself, second, the ways of working and the culture. And it took easily a good 6 months to really understand. So that's one of the things I also now put in place, is really the first month, 2 months, fully get immersed on the new place I go, fully understand the culture, fully understand the people, listening a lot, speaking not that much, to then you know, have the full understanding of the on the model and help them moving forward faster after having that good understanding. Yeah.
What's your view of this year? So I think that we are in a let me go a little bit more specific, specifically around geopolitics, trade uncertainties. There's plenty of question marks, and it's never been more in the, I think we got used to perhaps a state of fairly peaceful environment, which has been shattered in the last, 1-2 years. How do you try to mitigate or prepare for this, or look at this in the context of 2024 and this very, very tensionate, let's call it, if that word even exists, global supply chain and trade map?
Yeah. Look, that's a question of, you know, $1 million or trillion dollar question, right? How you get ready to the new environment. As you mentioned, there is no new, there is no environment where we are all comfortable. I mean, I think for me, the way we are looking into the future is every year we will have challenge. And for me, the answer is a bit of a mix of different elements. The first one is resilience, right? So how we ensure that our supply chain is really, in a way, having a proper business contingency plan, where we go through a scenario planning A, B, and C. I remember when I started in supply chain, you always have a plan B. I think now you go into the plan C and D. So that's an important element when it comes to especially the sourcing and the manufacturing of goods. Then the second for me is agility. That it's for me the name of the game for as of now, because it's not that you have a resilient supply chain that you are going to be successful, as lots of events are really unexpected. You see now the tensions there is in terms of logistics because of the Red Sea conflict. Tomorrow will be another one. So we need to always be very much prepared on that element of agility, which is a good combination as well on a trend that I believe we are all see now, right? So we come from a globalized world. I think we are moving now into a more regional, local supply chain. That's something that we have been working a lot in Costa during the last 3 years. When I landed in the company, it was all about bringing product from the UK to the rest of the world. I think we are very much now regionalizing our supply chain to make sure that between that resilience and that agility, getting closer to consumers, we get less disrupted, I would say. So I think that's an important learning that we have at Costa, but as well, I think it's our operating model moving forward. And then there is an element that we also going to be having moving forward is inflation, right? And how to manage, how to navigate through inflation. I think it's more and more difficult to just believe on the inflation, financial inflation KPIs that we used to have by country, that's expected inflation. The ups and downs of commodities is amazing, I would say. So it's how we work through the whole supply chain to make it as efficient as possible, working with suppliers, working on value creation, internally and externally. I think it's even, we always talk about external partners. I think that's to be today vital. There is no single company that can manage by themselves a business. It's very, very important to have good external partners that help you to go through those moments of tension, name inflation, name logistics situation, name manufacturing challenges as well. So as a summary, I would say it's a combination of resilience and agility and having great external partners.
To the last part of our discussion, I wanted to talk about talent, specifically young talent. I think there's two angles. So first, I want to start with, because you're passionate about it, you're developing quite a few programs at Costa around young professionals in supply chain. First, I want to ask you, how are you currently? Any tips and tricks to attract even more talent into the world of supply chain in the first place? And then the second part of the question after the attraction is how are you developing them in Costa?
Yeah, thanks, Radu. I mean, in terms of attraction, we just launched a program at Costa, specifically in supply chain. So that program has been developed as well for other functions previously. On whether we are looking into recent scheme of graduates that can join us, I would say to have people that help us to go and navigate through very specific elements. For example, digitalization, right? So I think that's an element that is super important for us as a company, and we don't have always experts on the field. So I think young people can help us to go through it. That program that we are putting in place is also an important one because that I would say talent that is young talent that is joining us is going to go through a rotative program. So during 2 years, they are not going to be just on procurement working or in supply chain, but they are going to be every 6 months rotating. So at the end of the day, we have somebody that has lots of energy, lots of willingness to learn, very curious, develop within different functions in end-to-end supply chain to become the future leaders of supply chain at Costa. So I think that the element of bringing people, young talent that can be in a way or can experience different functions is something that is very attractive to young people because one of the trends we see as well is young people don't want to stay for, more than 12, 18 months in a position. They get bored, they want to get excited. So I think working through those programs that we can rotate them after a period of time, that's definitely a good way to move into. And we see good results as well because we companies need to adapt to young people and not the other way around, right? So I think that's an important element. Second, I would say it's how you were mentioning how we retain the talent, right? Yeah, so I think that one of the elements that we are working on, as a very similar to the graduate program, is how we can design roles that require a set of characteristics, but we create those roles in a way that can be easily transfer when it comes to skill and also in terms of time, right? So we don't have people that is sitting in a role for a 36, 48 months, because we know that's very difficult. So the easy rotation of young people across the organization, even if they are not just newcomers, is an important element. Second is finding all, well, understanding what they need, right? So that's one of the elements we spent a lot of time last year with the team, which is we go through, as any company, we go through a survey every year to understand how our employees feel and what are the things that we can improve at company level to support them. And we have defined a very specific plan within the end-to-end supply chain team on activities that in a way help for people to be in a way enjoy more the work that they do, connect more between the teams. That's one of the challenges that I think all the companies we are facing now. So moving from the desk 5 days per week to a more hybrid model, how we allow those elements and moments of connection between the teams. And last but not least as well is how we continue providing training, learning experiences to our employees. And when it comes to supply chain, we have a very clear roadmap on activities that that people can participate into, both internal development as well as external development. So I would say those are the two, three big elements that we are putting in place. I would say there's never enough. So we continue developing new activities in 2024 to ensure that that we retain as much talent as possible. Once more, that's our main focus for me and for my leadership team within supply chain, is to make sure that we have the right people working with us as a team to enable the growth of Costa.
No, well, look, I'm sure you'll do great. We need more leaders like yourself that can inspire the young talent. And also, I think in Costa, it's not a lot of companies that have the growth and the expansion that you guys have. And obviously, always challenges tend to keep people highly motivated. So good luck in the journey, Javier, and good luck in 2024. And thanks a lot for sharing all the great lessons and case studies today.
Thank you, Radu, and to all your audience. Wishing you also all the best in 2024.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. If you liked what you heard, be sure to go to www.elcottglobal.com and click the podcast button for all the show notes of the interview. Also, subscribe to our mailing list to get our latest updates first. If you're listening through a streaming platform like iTunes, Spotify or Stitcher, we would appreciate a kind review. 5-star works best to keep us going and our production team happy. And of course, share it with your friends. I'm most active on LinkedIn, so do feel free to follow me. And if you have any suggestions on what to do and who to invite next, don't hesitate to drop me a note. And if you're looking to hire top executives in supply chain or transform your business, of course, contact us as well to find out how we can help.